Emotions and moods exert a powerful influence on decision-making and judgment. For example, our opinions of other people often depend on what kind of mood we happen to be in at the time when we meet them. People in a good mood are likely to judge the same person more positively than people in a bad mood. In one experiment, good and bad moods were created artificially by telling some students that they had done very well or very badly on a test. They were then asked to interview some people by asking them a prepared set of questions, such as, "What are your most important traits?" Without the students knowing it, the people they were interviewing were working together with the experimenters. All gave exactly the same answers to the questions. The answers were deliberately vague, revealing both positive things, "I'm pretty friendly," and negative things, "I'm quite stubborn and impatient." Afterwards, the interviewers were asked to evaluate the people interviewed from a personal and professional point of view. Sure enough, the interviewers who had been put in a good mood tended to rate the people they interviewed more positively than those who had been put in a bad mood, even though the answers they received were the same. Those in a good mood were also more likely to say that they would hire the person that they interviewed for a job. It is not just happy and sad moods that influence our judgments of other people. Anxiety can also affect the way we see others. The precise way in which it affects such judgments, however, is quite surprising. Rather than making us view strangers in a negative way, being in an anxious mood can actually make us feel closer to them. This, at least, seems to be the conclusion of one famous experiment conducted in the 1970s. Men who were walking across a very high bridge were stopped by a woman and were asked to take part in a survey. She then gave them a card with her phone number on it, saying that she would be happy to talk to them about the survey in greater detail if they wished. Later the same day, she did the same thing on a much lower and safer bridge. During the following days, many more phone calls were received from the men who had met the woman on the higher, more dangerous bridge than from those that had met her on the safer one. The anxiety seems to have made them more friendly. This effect of anxiety that makes people actually feel closer to each other may perhaps provide part of the explanation for the strange phenomenon of hostages coming to care deeply about their captors. Some of this may simply be due to the closeness of hostages and captors during their brief relationships. Even so, it seems likely that such affection for one's captors is intensified by the anxiety that is constantly present in the mind of the hostages. The well-known story of how British and German enemy soldiers left their positions on Christmas Day 1914 to play football with each other may be untrue. But it too suggests the same effect that anxiety has on people sharing a dangerous experience. Anxiety and affection mixing like this may not seem logical, but perhaps there is some logic to it after all. Maybe it evolved to help our ancestors join forces in dangerous situations, giving them safety in numbers.